1901. March 1st, 1901. The Relation of True Education to the Farm. Ellen G. White. Extracts from the writings of Mrs. E. G. White. No pains should be spared to select places for our schools where the moral atmosphere will be as healthful as possible, for the influence that prevails will leave a deep impress on young and forming characters. For this reason, a retired locality is best. The great cities, the centers of business and learning, may seem to present some advantages, but these advantages are outweighed by other considerations. Christian Schools, page 81. How many children there are in the crowded cities who have not even a spot of green grass to set their feet upon? If they could be educated in the country, amid the beauty, peace, and purity of nature, it would seem to them the spot nearest heaven. In the retired places, where we are farthest from the corrupting maxims, customs, and excitements of the world, and nearest to the heart of nature, Christ makes his presence real to us and speaks to our souls of his peace and love. Edom, page 77. Serious times are before us, and there is great need for the families to get out of the cities into the country. The youth educated in the large cities are surrounded by influences similar to those that prevailed before the flood. The same principles of disregard for God and his law, the same love of pleasure, of selfish gratification, and of pride and vanity are at work at the present time. The world is given up to pleasure. Immorality prevails. The rights of the weak and helpless are disregarded. And the world over, the large cities are fast becoming hotbeds of iniquity. There is room within Earth's vast boundaries for schools to be located, where ground can be cleared, land cultivated, and where a proper education can be given. This work is essentially an all-round education, and one which is favorable to spiritual advancement. Nature's voice is the voice of Jesus Christ, teaching us innumerable lessons of perseverance. The mountains and hills are changing. The earth is waxing old like a garment. But the blessing of God, which spreads a table for his people in the wilderness, will never pass away. Christian Schools, page 80. The children and youth, all classes of students, need the lessons to be derived from this source. In itself, the beauty of nature leads the soul away from sin and worldly attractions and toward purity, peace, and God. For this reason, the cultivation of the soil is good work for children and youth. It brings them into direct contact with nature and nature's God, and that they may have this advantage in connection with our schools, there should be, so far as possible, large flower gardens and extensive lands for cultivation. A return to simpler methods will be appreciated by the children and youth. Work in the garden and field will be an agreeable change from the wearisome routine of abstract lessons to which their young minds should never be confined. In the school that is started here in Kurenbong, we look to see real success in agricultural lines, combined with the study of the sciences. We mean this place to be a center from which shall irradiate light, precious advanced knowledge, that shall result in the working of unimproved lands, so that hills and valleys shall blossom as the rose. For both children and men, labor combined with mental taxation will give the right kind of all-round education. The cultivation of the mind will bring tact and fresh incentive to the cultivation of the soil. The school has made an excellent beginning. The students are learning how to plant trees, strawberries, etc., how they must keep every spangle and fiber of the roots uncramped in order to give them a chance to grow. Is not this a most precious lesson as to how to treat the human mind and the body, as not to cramp any of the organs of the body, but to give them ample room to do their work? The students are learning what plowing means, and that the hoe and the shovel, the rake and the harrow, are all implements of honorable industry. Mistakes will often be made, but error lies close beside truth. Wisdom will be learned by failures, and the energy that will make a beginning gives hope of success in the end. Hesitation will keep things back. Precipitancy will alike retard, but all will serve as lessons, if the human agents will have it so.
There will be a new presentation of men as breadwinners, possessing educated, trained ability to work the soil to advantage. Such men will break down the foolish sentiments that have prevailed in regard to manual labor. An influence will go forth, not in loud-voiced oratory, but in real inculcation of ideas. We shall see farmers who are not coarse and rough and slack, careless of their apparel and of the appearance of their homes, but they will bring taste into farmhouses. Rooms will be sunny and inviting. We shall not see blackened ceilings covered with cloth full of dust and dirt. Science, genius, intelligence will be manifest in the home. The cultivation of the soil will be regarded as elevating and ennobling. We should work the soil cheerfully, hopefully, gratefully, believing that the earth holds in her bosom rich stores for the faithful worker to garner, richer than gold or silver. The niggardliness laid to her charge is false witness. With proper, intelligent cultivation, the earth will yield her treasures for the benefit of man. The cultivation of our land requires the exercise of all the brain power and tact we possess. The lands around us testify to the indolence of man. We hope to arouse to action the dormant senses. We hope to see intelligent farmers who will be rewarded for their earnest labor. The hand and heart must cooperate, bringing new and sensible plans into operation in the cultivation of the soil. Men take you to their orchards of oranges and lemons and other fruit and tell you the produce does not pay for the work done on them. It is next to impossible to make ends meet, and parents decide that the children shall not be farmers. They have not the courage and hope to educate them to till the soil. What is needed is schools to educate and train the youth so that they will know how to overcome this condition of things. There must be education in the sciences and education in the plans and methods of working the soil. There is hope in the soil, but brain and heart and strength must be brought into the work of tilling it. There is need of much more extensive knowledge in regard to the preparation of the soil. There is not sufficient breadth of view as to what can be realized from the earth. A narrow and unvarying routine is followed with discouraging results. Let the educated ability be employed in devising improved methods of work. This is just what the Lord wants. There is need of intelligent and educated ability to devise the best methods in farming, in building, and in every other department, that the worker may not labor in vain. God, who has made the world for the benefit of man, will provide means from the earth to sustain the diligent worker. The seed placed in thoroughly prepared soil will produce its harvest. God can spread a table for his people in the wilderness. There is much mourning over unproductive soil when, if men would read the Old Testament scriptures, they would see that the Lord knew much better than they in regard to the proper treatment of the land. After being worked for several years and giving her treasures to the possession of men, portions of the land should be allowed to rest, and then the crops should be changed. We might learn much also from the Old Testament in regard to the labor problem. The earth has its concealed treasures, and the Lord would have thousands and tens of thousands working upon the soil who are crowded into the cities to watch for a chance to earn a trifle. The earth is to be made to give forth its strength, but without the blessing of God it can do nothing. In the beginning, God looked upon all he had made and pronounced it very good. The curse was brought upon the earth in consequence of sin, but shall this curse be multiplied by increasing sin? Ignorance is doing its baleful work. Slothful servants are increasing the evil by their lazy habits. Many are unwilling to earn their bread by the sweat of their brow, and they refuse to till the soil. But the earth has blessings hidden in her depths for those who have courage and will and perseverance to gather her treasures. God would be glorified if men from other countries who have acquired an intelligent knowledge of agriculture would come to Australia and by precept and example teach the people how to cultivate the soil that it may yield rich treasures. Men are wanted to educate others how to plow and how to use the implements of agriculture. Who will be missionaries to do this work, to teach proper methods to the youth and to all who feel willing and humble enough to learn? December 1, 1901. Teachers should be God's helping hand. Ellen G. White.
No one is to think that all of his time is to be spent in study. By putting into practice what you study, you can obtain more than by merely studying. When you use your knowledge, you will find that more is given you. Keep the channel open, that you may have the grace and light and love of Christ. Do not disappoint Christ. Though you are teachers, you are to learn of the great teacher. While as students you are to respect the human instrumentality through which you receive instruction, you are ever to look beyond this to the divine. Then the truths which come from the lips of the human teacher will be to you of far greater importance than they otherwise would be. Every teacher should gather up all the rays of divine light shining upon his pathway, that he may have the wisdom Daniel had. Walk in the light which is opening before you in this institute. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. As the light of the sun shines with increasing power from morning till noon, so as you advance in the opening light of God's word, you will receive more light. He who takes charge of a school is in need of a living, ever-present Savior. Teach the simplest principles of the Word of God, making the Bible the foundation of education. Those who are seeking to obtain the so-called higher education do not know what true education is. True higher education is that which is received by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. You need not struggle to lift yourself. Commit your work to him. Do it in faithfulness, in sincerity, in truth, in righteousness. And you will find that every day brings its reward, and the light of heaven is shining upon you. His light, his grace, his salvation are thus revealed. We are a very ignorant people. We know so little of Jesus Christ that we can but dimly comprehend what he will do for us. God desires us to learn of him. While you are in this institute, let your boasting be in God, and not in science, not in foreign languages, nor in anything else that is human. First, learn whether you can practice Christianity in your own language. There are souls to convert, and you should be able to so bring the simplicity of godliness into your own life that you can use the talent of speech with converting power among those with whom you associate. There should be in your hearts a burning desire to be united with Christ, that you may be laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He is working with you as with a building, forming within you a character after the divine similitude. Let your character building be in accordance with the beautiful pattern revealed to men in the life of Christ. In all your work, you should do as the husbandman does in producing the fruit of the earth. Apparently, he throws away the seed, but, buried in the soil, the seed in dying germinates. The power of the living God gives it life and vitality, and there is seen first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Study this wonderful process. Oh, there is so much to learn, so much to understand, that it seems as though we cannot learn everything during this life, and we cannot. But if we now improve our minds to the utmost of our ability, we shall, through the eternal ages, carry forward the study of God's ways and works. continually reaching higher and still higher. We now need minds that can understand the simplicity of godliness. More than we desire anything else, we should desire to have Jesus Christ abiding in the soul temple, because he cannot abide there without being revealed and shown forth in fruits and good works. Conducting recitations is only the beginning of a teacher's work. The teacher has a heavy responsibility to bear in connection with the students entrusted to his care, and he is to understand that he cannot throw off this responsibility. He has the oversight of those in his charge. He is to regard them as those who have been bought with a price. He must watch over this recreant one and over that recreant one. He must talk and pray with them. Thus he may save souls unto Jesus Christ. The work of a teacher does not end in the classroom. Because he is an educator, he is not to divorce himself from the church work. Power is to be brought into the church. Teachers are to strive to bring the church to a higher and still higher standard. God requires of teachers more than they give. They are to be working agencies and not dwarfs. If they fulfill God's requirements, he will give them still more intelligence, until it can be said of them, "Ye are complete in him." If every teacher in this college would come up to the help of God in the church, we should have in Healdsburg one of the most precious churches that could be found anywhere in the world.
There is a world to be saved. Such a work is to be done by our people, that often at night I sit up in my bed, wringing my hands in agony, and ask, "O God, will thy people ever understand?"
I believe they will, when they come to the foot of Christ, and sit at his feet, as did Mary, to learn of him. If the teachers will follow the Bible rules and be Bible Christians, they will be God's helping hand. God wants every one of you to be his helping hand, and if you yield yourself to him, he will teach you and work through you, that you may be able to impart to others. Then you will be able to say, "O God, thy gentleness hath made me great." There is a fullness for every teacher to gain. The studies that you receive will either strengthen your faith and confidence in God and teach you how to work as his helping hand, or else they will leave you in a worse condition than if you had never attended this institute. If you work out the principles that the Lord has given you, he will surely place you on vantage ground, and the mercies and blessings of heaven will come into your life practice, enabling you to work out the will of God. Extracts from a talk before church school teachers at Healdsburg, California, September 1901. There is a work to be done for young men and women that is not yet accomplished. There are much larger numbers of young people who need to have the advantages of our training schools. They need the manual training course, but will teach them how to lead an active, energetic life. All kinds of labor must be connected with our schools. Under wise, judicious, God-fearing directors, the students are to be taught. Every branch of the work is to be conducted in the most thorough and systematic ways that long experience and wisdom can enable us to plan and execute.